greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and be with each of you, and enjoyed the service so far in Sunday school, talking about Paul and what an encouragement he was to the fellow believers, and just an example for each of us. It was good. This morning I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12 and just read a few verses there as sort of a text for what I'd like to talk about. Just the two first verses here in Romans chapter 12. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A lot of times our attention is drawn to the second verse here in this passage, and for good reason, I think, because renewing our minds is really where a lot of things start. But I'd like to look more at the first verse here and talk about being a living sacrifice and about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And I had to ask myself this question: am I a living sacrifice? Do I know what it means to be a living sacrifice? The first thing that stood out to me here was the word sacrifice, and I had to think of the Israelites and how they had to sacrifice all these animals. Each time they wanted to make a sacrifice, an animal died, and that was a one-time sacrifice. It could only happen one time. An animal could only die once. But here, God's asking us to be a living sacrifice. This is something that continues on. It's continuous in our lives. And when I think of sacrifice, I think of something that is not easy. It's not something that is without cost. And so when I look at this passage, making our bodies a living sacrifice, I have to think it's going to cost something. It's going to cost me something to do this. You know, each of us has resources that God has given us, and this verse is talking about that. And each of us has, no matter who's here, we all have these resources. Now, there's, of course, all of us have various resources when it comes to money and possessions and things like that. But when it comes to these things, we each have these. And what I'm specifically thinking of is your body and maybe time also with that. Your body, your mind, and time. We all have those things. We can all spend them, so to speak. And we all say they're mine, whereas maybe that's really not correct. They're maybe not exactly ours. But let's look at that a little closer. So I like to think about how we use the things that God has given us, specifically our time, our mind, our talents, our body. At this very moment, each of us is spending or is using the resources God gave us, using those things. You're here today in your body, and you're using your ears to listen to me, and I'll try to make it worthwhile for you to do so. But you're spending your resources, no matter where you are, where you go. You're spending those things that God has given you, some way or another. Sometimes we forget about it. We just go about our day-to-day activities, and we don't even think about it consciously that we're actually using something that God has given us. We're using it one way or another. Are we using it in a positive way? Are we using it in a negative way? How are we using it? I was talking to a business consultant recently, and he said each business has limited resources. He said and this was what stood out to me. He said the one that succeeds is the one that uses their limited resources the best that they can, better than anybody else. And I had to think about our Christian walk. You know, that's sort of the way it is for us, too. We are sort of God's resources. God has given us certain things that we can use. And how are we using them? Are they a benefit to God? Are they a benefit to the kingdom of God? What we do with our resources determines what is going to prosper in our lives, or what is going to prosper in eternity. Do we use them in a way that builds up an eternal heavenly kingdom, or do we use them in a way that just builds up an earthly, temporary kingdom? You know, also, when I was thinking about this whole idea of the resources that God has given us and the things that we have that we can use, that He sort of loans us, you might say, I thought of the Bible and of spiritual resources too, the Holy Spirit and these things. And I think that those could have a whole other sermon in themselves. But I think we'll see that the spiritual resources, I think we think of as spiritual, are really tied in so closely with the physical things that we can't really separate them 100%. And I'd like to focus mostly on the physical ones right now. So how do you spend your resources, and does it matter how you spend your resources, your time, your talents, and so on? Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So it talks here about redeeming the time and using our time in a way that is useful, that is purposeful, that brings honor to the Lord. And what about our physical body, our actions, and our abilities? I'd like to read Matthew a parable in Matthew 25 that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Starting at verse 14, he gives this parable, and I think we could take this many ways, but I think look at the things that God has given you, whether they be physical blessings of money and possessions, or whether it's just the talents or the abilities He gave you as a person. It says in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling unto a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hadst not sown, and gathering where thou hadst not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So it does matter what we do with the things God gives us. And we see also that it doesn't necessarily matter how much He's given us, but that we make an increase of what he has given us. He said the same thing to the one who made 5 additional talents from his 5 as the one who had made 2 out of the 2 that he had got. Both of them, he said, well done. And, you know, we don't want to focus on the fact that I don't feel like I have many talents or I don't have many abilities, but we want to focus on God has given me at least this, and if I can be faithful in that, then I have been faithful. So I think it matters. We see from this that it does matter what we do with our body, with our talents. And I had to think of James. He wrote a big part of his epistle about the tongue. You know, and the tongue is part of our body. It's part of what we are. And, you know, it's a tricky, I guess it's sort of a tricky thing to use properly. So why does it matter how we use the things that we have? Why shouldn't we just do whatever we want with what we have? And I had to think of this illustration. Let's say you're a business owner and you need another vehicle for your business. You need a car so that your employees can use it for the business purposes. So you go out, you save the money, you go out, you pick out a car, and you pay the money, you fill out all the paperwork, you bring it back to your business, and when an employee needs to go do some company business, you give him the keys and away he goes. But the problem is every time that you give him the keys to this car, he goes out and he drives to Cabela's and buys the latest fishing stuff. Or maybe he goes to Schweitzer and goes skiing instead. Or maybe he goes to the bakery and has coffee with his friends. Wouldn't you consider it a waste of your... wouldn't you consider it the wrong use of the company's vehicle for this person to just go do whatever he wants with his vehicle? The vehicle was purchased and its intent was for business to grow the business, but instead it's being used for something other than it was intended for. You know, maybe God looks at it a little bit that way when we're willing to give him our spirit, so to speak, but we don't give him the rest of us. We just take and do what we want with ourselves. We go where we want to go. We take our own way and don't realize that really the things that we have, the things that we are God's, and we ought to be directing them where he wants us to direct them. If we believe that God is Lord of everything, he's Lord of our lives, that means that we should also realize that he's Lord of where we go, what we do, and where we spend our energy. You know, your mind, think of your mind, your body, the trees. God made all those things. And so it only makes sense that we would do with them what he intends us to do with them. When it comes to time, I had to think of that same thing. We look at time as something we control to a certain extent. You know, I have this time, I got this day, I'm going to go do what I want to do today. And we don't often stop and think that God can stop that time in our lives right there. That could be the last moment for us. And we somehow think that I'm in control of this and it's mine. I'm going to take it, I'm going to do what I want. But no, it's really on loan from God. It's really something he has given us to use. And we need to use it in a way that is glorifying him. I'm going to read another passage here in Deuteronomy. I was reading this some weeks ago, and it just really stood out to me, this one, especially one verse in this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and starting at verse 10, this is what the Lord warned the Israelites about as they were getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. He says, When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So, you know, it's just a reminder here that really without God's provision in our lives, we wouldn't even have the food to eat today. We wouldn't have the water we need to live, much less have the strength to go out and do something that brings in wealth or brings in supplies. We think our strength and our ability is ours often, but really it's God's. And even our ability to gain wealth comes from God. So we're here to honor God with what we do, with our lives, with our bodies, with our minds. And we need to be reminded of that often. I know I do. So what you do with the things God has given you shows who owns you. If I believe in building my little kingdom here on earth, then my energy, my resources, my time, my abilities, they're all going to go that direction. If I believe that God's kingdom is what needs to be built, then my energy, my time, my abilities are going to go that way. And I think often we can deceive ourselves in thinking that, you know, I'm really doing God's work. And maybe sometimes an easier way to check up on ourselves is just to look at where we spend our energy and realize that that's really where we're headed. That's what we think is important. Today, many companies have what they call a human resource department, and I don't even know what that all means, but I had to ask myself this question. Where are we in God's human resource department? Does our little, when he pulls out the file and looks at our name and sees what we do, and do we add up to something, or do we subtract, or are we kind of, you know, here and there? Sometimes we're useful, and sometimes we're not so useful, and sometimes we're hard to manage, or are we easy to manage? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So, because we are bought with a price, we need to glorify God with what we do and what we say, and just our lives, just where we go. One of the big things that I was thinking about is I was thinking about how we spend what God has given us, or how we use what God has given us, was our time. And you know, this is a big subject, and a person could spend a lot of time talking about how we use our time. But think about your own life. How do you use your time? Where does it go? Does it go to mostly when you have time alone, or time to do something? Does it go towards reading books, or does it go towards sports, or does it go to just working? Do you work all the time? Think about what you do with the time that you have. The other day I had to go to town to take something to the post office, and when I got there I realized I didn't have what I needed, and so I had to go back to the shop and do some other things and fill out some more paperwork before I could go back. And it was irritating to me because I was wasting my time, or at least I thought it was. And, you know, sometimes we get irritated because we feel like somebody or something is wasting our time. But do we feel that same sort of concern about our time when we're doing something that is our leisure time, when we could be doing something more beneficial or more useful? Do we think about how we're spending our time each day? I know I don't often think about it. I sit there and I read a book or I do something, and I've used up several hours of time without really getting any benefit out of it, or anybody else getting any benefit out of it. Some statistics I read about how Americans spend their time. These are just averages. It said, this was in 2009, it said that the average person who went to work spent 7.5 hours at work. And another one, the average person spends 5,508 minutes a year on their cell phone. And the average person spends 67 minutes a day eating. And this one is in a 65-year lifespan, the average person will have spent 9 years of their life watching television. On average, people spend 5.8 hours in leisure activity every day. That kind of surprised me, that most people have 5.8 hours of time to spend somewhere other than where their work is or some activity. They have that time as leisure time. And this one really kind of shocked me. 2012, it says that the average American 18 to 64 who use social networks spend an average of 3.2 hours a day on social networks such as Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So think about the way you use your time. We can get our time sucked up real fast into something that really doesn't mean much. And I'm not saying that leisure time is bad, because I think we need to have a certain amount of time where you do something that isn't really intently doing something important. I think that's important for people to spend a little bit of time doing something. People have to unwind and so on. I think that's part of life. But we can think about how we're spending our time. Are we wasting it away on something that really isn't that good? I had to think about relationships. One good way to redeem the time that we have is spend it with our children. You know, it says the days are evil. And if we're going to keep our children, if we're going to give them the values that we have, if we're going to have a relationship with them and make our relationship more important than the world's time, we're going to have to spend time with them. We're going to have to give them some of our time, to give them our values, to teach them about the Lord, to teach them about what it means to be a Christian, and teach them the important things in life. We can't expect them to just get those by accident. We have to spend time with them. And the same way with our relationship with the Lord, we have to spend time there too. We can't expect our devotional life to just happen. We have to actually take the time to do it and spend time reading. You know, oftentimes I find myself going to have devotions and I want to get this done. It's kind of like one of those tasks that you have and you just want to get it done. You know, it's okay, I've done that today and so on. And so we make these little prayers where we, you know, ask God for something and we say, okay, by the way, thank you, amen, and we're done. Sometimes I think we need to sit and just meditate a little bit and to give God time to speak to us, to absorb something from Him, from the Bible, that we can take with us. Let's not rush it just because we have things to do. Another part of this living sacrifice, I think, is a nice book of this, is your body and your mind. You know, if we're spending time with God, I think that our mind and our body will kind of follow along with that. But I think we need to consciously think about that as well. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And, you know, what does it mean to love God with your mind? That's an interesting question. We need to be transformed, like it said in that next verse in Romans 12 there. We need to be transformed, it says, by the renewing of our mind. Our mind needs to be changed into thinking differently than what it used to. And we think, you know, I don't think there's something that just zap happens to you. I think that's a process that we consciously think about what God's values are. We consciously think about Jesus and his life, and his mind slowly becomes our mind. In using our talents, I had to think about Joseph in Egypt. You know, he was here in a strange land, and about very soon after he was there, he was promoted to a high position in this man Potiphar's house. But soon he found himself in prison, and there was no good reason. It was totally unjust. There he was in prison, and you know, Joseph could have said, "Well, what's the point of using my talents for God? What's the point? I'm just going to lay low now, because this just got me into trouble before. I'm just going to lay low and not do anything much of all to make any waves or any attention. And maybe I won't get in trouble again." But no, he used his talents for God, even there in prison, where he felt like maybe it was kind of useless. And he, through that, he was able to save his whole family, his whole, the whole tribe, the whole Israelite group from starvation and from death, because he was willing to use his talents. He was willing to step out and use his talent, even though he wasn't sure where it was going to take him. Do you thank the Lord for your sound mind? I saw a video of a man who has cerebral palsy, and he gave a speech. He was able to talk well enough that you could understand him. It was sort of halting and it was sort of garbled, but you could understand him. And his testimony was very uplifting, because here's a man whose mind is defective in some way. He can think straight and all this, but his mind was defective in the fact that he can't speak like a normal person. But he didn't let that stop him from serving the Lord. He kept right on. He used that, in fact, as a way to encourage other people that, you know, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? What's holding you back? Surely our minds are useful. Surely our minds can be used by God. And many times we waste our minds away thinking about things that are of no value or possibly are taking us the wrong direction. So, in closing, I'd like to just say that let's not overlook the physical things that we have, the physical resources that God has given us. Let's not overlook those when we see the thing, when we want to know what God wants us to do. Let's remember to be living sacrifices. And the thought that struck me is that if we use our physical abilities, if we use our mind, our body, and our time for God, we're taking physical things and making them spiritually valuable. They become spiritual tools if we are able to take them and harness them for God's purposes. Those physical things become far more valuable. They become spiritual things, really. That, you know, I think of that verse in Psalm. It says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." And, you know, the person that goes to a foreign land to speak, to be a missionary, they're using their physical resources to accomplish a spiritual goal. And that's what we want to be able to do with ours. We want to tie in our spiritual resources, our physical resources, and take all of those things, every bit of us, and take them and give them to God and say, "Do with them, Lord, what you want to do." That song we sang during the revivals, we sang it one night. It says, "Lord, light the great fires of your love in my soul. Oh, kindle those burnings divine, and let your great spirit flow freely within to witness that Jesus is mine." The chorus says, "I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you today. I love you in spirit and mind. My body is yours for anything, Lord. I'm satisfied now in your love." So this person is saying, you know, "God, you have my spirit, you have my mind, and you have my body too. You got it all." And a testimony of this is a story I read about a man named David Brainerd. I'm sure many of you have heard of this man. He was a missionary to the Indians in the Northeast. He was born in 1718, and he died at age 29 in 1747. He took a trip to see the Indians, and he was a missionary to them. But what really stood out to me was that his life was really marred by tuberculosis. He was sick all his life, very sick. Many times he couldn't hardly get up on his horse to go where he wanted to go. He suffered from sickness. He suffered from discouragement. He was lonely many times. And finally, it came to the point where he could no longer be a missionary. He had to leave, and he died soon afterwards. But you know, I had to think about this man. He was willing to take the limited body that God gave him and use it in a way that brought others to Jesus. He was a missionary that was able to bring many of the Indians to salvation. And he had a limited body. His body was limited. He couldn't do the things I could do, or probably most of you. He was weak and sick. And you know, he was still used by God in that way. He was willing to be used. And I had to ask myself, am I willing to take the body God has given me, my mind, and which is healthy, and use it for Him. You know, I have, perhaps you could say, more to offer in some ways in my body than this man did. But I still often want to hoard it for myself. So when Jesus came to the earth to die for us, He offered His mind, His body, and everything for us. He didn't stop with saying, okay, well, I want to save you in spirit. No, He used everything He had. He was there in spirit and in body and mind, and He gave His body as a sacrifice for us. And I just had to think how that, you know, God wants us to be willing in spirit and in mind and body. He wants all of us. He wants every bit of us. And I want to just leave that challenge with you this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank You, Lord, for the many blessings You have given us. We just thank You that You did send Your Son to die for us, and we want to live our lives for You, Lord. Help us to do that in a way that brings honor and glory to Your name. Help us to give every bit of ourselves to You, and not just be willing in spirit, but also be willing in body and mind as well. Pray that You would guide each one here, and may You lead us by Your Spirit, and may we follow You each day, and pray that You dismiss us with Your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll